And if you have your Bibles, please would you turn with me to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke 17. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the power of your word. And we ask you to speak to us this morning as we look at the subject again of being thankful, of thankfulness at this time of the year. Lord, as we look back over this year, we want to say thank you to you, to all you've done for us, Lord. And as we begin a new year soon, Lord, we want to go into it with a spirit of thankfulness. So open your word to us today, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, then turn with me, please, Luke 17. We're going to look at the story about the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Started it last week, and we're going to continue this week. And we pick it up in verse 11, and it says, "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, 'We're not 10. Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Amen. I was saying, Lord, we started last week looking at the subject of giving thanks, of thankfulness, and it's so important for us, folks, to have this attitude in our hearts. And we'll see from this passage as well that God is looking for us also to be thankful. We'll see from this passage. And so we started last week, and as we look back over the year, we were just giving thanks to God for all that happened this year. And even during this week, with the passing of Madiba, we were able to say to him, "Lord, thank you for a great world leader. Thank you for what you've done in our nation. Thank you, Lord Jesus." And so we want to continue with that theme this morning as we approach Christmas and as we also approach 2014, the spirit of thankfulness. And we said last week a few things. We said thankfulness is really a gospel thing. It's really when we understand the gospel, that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose again to give us forgiveness of sins, to give us a new life. That truly makes us thankful when we realize that. It's really a gospel thing. We also said that thankfulness is a people thing. It's not just about things and having a good breakfast or having a nice car, but thankfulness is really about what God has done for us and what people have done for us. And I encouraged you last week to think through people in your life that you need to thank this year and people that have made a difference in your life. Thankfulness is about people, but also thirdly, we looked last week and we said thankfulness is a spoken thing. People need to hear from you specifically. It may sound simple, but you need to say to people, "I want to thank you for what you've done for me. I want to thank you for what you mean in my life." And we see here with this leper that he went back to Jesus and he fell at his feet and he said, "Lord, I want to thank you for healing me and for cleansing me." This Samaritan, who was really an outcast amongst the outcasts, he went back to Jesus and he gave thanks to him. And so, friends, the subject is so important that we learn to be thankful. And I know even in my own life, I've got to keep learning this. Sometimes we can slip into complaining and moaning and groaning. Maybe I'm the only one here. But we need to thank God for all he's done for us and to count our blessings, to remember what God has done for us, to thank God for to want the things that we have, not just wanting things to have. Let me say that again. We learned that in the freedom in Christ. To thank God for what you already have, not for other things to have. And so even as you approach Christmas, don't get caught up in buying and materialism, but thank God for what you already have. Thank him for your salvation. Thank him for your family. Thank him for the stuff he's done in your life. It's a great secret to be content in the Christian life. Paul says, "I've learned the secret of being content. Whether I have lots or whether I have little, I'm at peace." Are you at peace this morning because of what Jesus has done for you? Contentment is a great secret in the Christian life. And so, friends, gratitude is an attitude. It's an attitude of mind. It's a state of your soul where we need to just cultivate this attitude of giving thanks to God and to one another. And so I want to continue that this morning and look at two further points. I want you to also see from this passage that God is looking for your gratitude. And here this leper comes back to Jesus and he falls at Jesus' feet and Jesus responds to him and Jesus says to him, I'm so glad you've come back to give thanks, but where are the other nine? Where are your mates? Where's the rest of your small group? Where have they gone? Why did only one return to give thanks? Why is sometimes only 10% of the congregation thankful? One in 10. And Jesus is speaking to this guy and he's asking him questions. And we must be so careful that we don't get caught up in the prevailing culture where Jesus just does things for us and we forget to come back and fall at his feet and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus is looking for that. Friends, he's looking for that in your life and in my life. He wants us to keep coming back to him and saying, Lord, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for what you've done for me. I want to thank you for my family, Lord. I want to thank you for 2013 because it's all by his grace, isn't it? It's by his sheer grace. And thankfulness, friends, is a sign of faith, really. It's a sign of faith and it kind of completes you and reorientates you. And Jesus says that to him. He says to him, go, your faith has made you well. And really, he's the only guy in the story that got saved. The others got healed, but he got saved because he cultivated this attitude of thankfulness. And when he comes back to Jesus, Jesus engages with him and talks to him. And he's wanting to hear your thanks and my thanks too. That's what God is looking for in our lives. The end of a long day, or at the beginning of the day, just come to God and saying, Lord, I want to just thank you for today. Thank you for this week, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for me. God is a God who remembers the good things he's done for us. He remembers them. And he loves it when we come back and just saying, Lord, thank you so much. You're such a good God to me. Thank you. And we go to others and we do the same thing. Because God wants to engage with us. And we see it over and over in the Gospels. We see it the way Jesus dealt with folk. He wanted to connect with people. He wanted to connect with them. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Let's look at this woman that was healed as well with this issue of blood. This woman in Mark chapter 5. It's a story you may know well. But I want you to notice a few things this morning. In Mark chapter 5, here's this woman. And she had this gynecological problem. She was really desperate. And she'd been to all the doctors in Mark chapter 5 verse 25. And it says, and there was a woman who'd had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered much under many physicians, and she'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I even touch his garments, I will be made well. I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned round in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? But the disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And so here is another story. Here is a woman with this massive problem and she was desperate. She needed physical healing. She needed a touch from God. She'd had 12 years of struggle. She'd spent all her money. And she was not just suffering physically, but she was suffering from shame. Because under the old covenant, you were not allowed to be in a crowd. If you had a discharge like this, you were not allowed to do that. So she was kind of creeping around. And she knew that if she just touched Jesus, she would be healed. Because all over the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Mark, you see it in Mark 1, Mark 3, Mark 6, all over people, they just wanted to get to Jesus to touch him. Because if they just touched him, they were healed. They just knew if we just, one touch from Jesus can sort out 12 years of desperation and shame. One touch from Jesus can change your life. Just one touch from Him. Just one touch from the Savior will change your situation forever. Oh, one touch from Him. One touch of His presence. One touch of Jesus. Friends, that's what it's all about. It's about having a touch from God. It's about having a touch from Jesus. And when she reached out and when she touched Him, she was healed. She was completely healed. You see, look at what I want you to see from this passage is she was looking for something, but Jesus was looking for someone. She was looking for a physical cure. She wanted to be healed and she wanted to melt away in the crowd and disappear. But Jesus wouldn't have that. And Jesus stopped in the middle of this great crowd that were touching and jostling with Him. And He said, someone touched me. Someone touched me. I felt it. She felt the healing in her body. And Jesus felt that she had drawn power from Him. You see, He wanted to encounter with her. He wanted to meet with her. And He called her out and she eventually came trembling. And she fell at His feet and she said, Lord, it was me. And He said, my daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And He didn't just heal her physically, but He healed her from her societal shame. So she could walk upright again. She didn't need to feel ashamed in her community. See, Jesus doesn't heal you from your sins individually. Jesus heals us in terms of our shame. He helps us to re-engage in our community again in a new way. You can hold your head up high. And that's what Jesus did for this woman. And friends, that is a picture of what our God is like. He doesn't just want to heal you. He wants to know you. He doesn't want to just do something for you. He wants to get to know you personally. He wants to engage with you. He wants to encounter you. That's what He's looking for. And He knows when you come and pray to Him. He knows when you call on Him. He feels it in His body. He feels it in His person. When you get down and pray sometimes and you think, I don't know if God's even listening. My prayers seem to be bouncing off the ceiling. How many of you have had that experience? Well, He does hear you. And He feels your prayers. And He knows when you reach out to Him with a hand of faith and you grasp hold of God, He feels it. He felt in His body that virtue, it says in the old version, power had gone out from Him. When you tap into God, when you lay hold of God, God knows it. God hears your prayers. God will change your situation. God wants to interact with you, just as He did with the leper, He does with this woman as well. That's the God that we serve. He doesn't want you just to hide in a crowd. He doesn't want you just to hide in a congregation. I know some of you have got favorite seats at the back and in the corners. Doesn't matter. God wants to encounter you. God wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you. And it's not hard. It's easy. You just need to reach out to Him. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. And that's what He did with this woman. And she was healed. And her life was completely changed around. One touch from God. One touch from Jesus. That's what it's about. God wants to encounter us. He wants to know us. He wants to walk with us. That's what it's all about, friends. Christianity is not some functional thing. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about getting prayers answered. It's about encountering God and talking to Him and building this relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. But I want you to see also, secondly, that being thankful in all circumstances is something that keeps you in the will of God. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This subject is so important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and Paul is finishing his letter off to the Thessalonians, and he throws a few things in at the end in chapter 5, and he says three things, really. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, rejoice always. That's a good one, isn't it? Rejoice always. Christians should be the happiest people in the city. Can you say amen? Wonderful. I thought that sounded good. Christians should be the happiest in the city. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. And verse 19 says, don't quench the Spirit. It's interesting. Sometimes you can quench the Spirit when you're not rejoicing, when you're not praying, and when you're not being thankful. But here I want to focus on this verse about being thankful, for this is the will of God for you. It doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. It says be thankful in all circumstances. And some things we go through are not lekker. Some things we go through are plain difficult and unpleasant. But we can still raise our voices to God and saying, Lord, I thank you, you're with me in them. Thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayers. We read this morning from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for those who know and love our Lord Jesus. And friends, if you want to find God's will for your life, maybe you're coming to the end of this year, you've got some changes, you're looking ahead at next year, I really want to be in the will of God next year. I really want to know God's will. Perhaps before you discover His specific will, it starts with just giving thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. What is God's will for my life? That you be thankful. That you be thankful to the Lord. And you refuse to allow despair to wrap around you like a blanket. All other sacrifices in the New Testament have been removed because of the sacrifice of Jesus. They're all gone except one. There's one left. And that's the sacrifice of praise. And the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And sometimes you don't feel like giving thanks. Sometimes you're struggling. Sometimes you just want to have a pity party. You want to moan a bit. Don't you feel like moaning sometimes a bit? I do. I sometimes like having a bit of a moan. Maybe I'm the only one. The Bible says don't do that. It says give thanks to God in all circumstances. And so when you come before the Lord in the morning and the evening, you bring a sacrifice to Him, and it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Saying, Lord, I want to thank you. I choose to be thankful because it's your will for my life. I choose to be thankful because of who you are and what you've done for me. I choose to be thankful despite my current circumstances. You're unemployed. Maybe you're facing some challenges. Start giving thanks to God for the job that He's going to provide. Start thanking God for what He's already provided. Start thanking God. I choose to be thankful instead of being critical or complaining. And it will keep you in the will of God. It'll keep you in a place of peace before the final answers come your way. It says in Psalm 100, enter His gates with and His courts with. And so you not only discover the will of God through thanksgiving, but you move deeper into the will of God by adopting an attitude of thanksgiving. So when you come into God's presence, you take something with you. You don't go empty-handed. You're coming into His presence. What have you got with you? You've got thanksgiving and you've got praise when you come into the presence of God. So the mercy of God enables you to enter His presence. But as you come through the gates, you've got thanksgiving and praise in your hands. That's what you've got. You don't start with your shopping lists. Lord, well, I've got lots of issues here, Lord. There's lots I need you to do for me this year. No, no, no. You put those aside. You say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You enter His gates with thanksgiving. You come through the doors. You come through the gates into the presence of God with a spirit of thanksgiving. And then you get deeper into the will of God through praising Him and worshiping Him and adoring Him. You find your way into His presence. Gates are like doors that take you into new things and new areas, inner courts of purpose and discovery. And friends, we do need to enter with thanksgiving. We mustn't be like the 90% who just carry on with their busy lives. We must learn to enter with thanksgiving and enter with praise. And it creates an atmosphere around your life where God can begin to move. It creates a platform for further blessing. So really, this is just a word for this year, but it's also a word as we enter next year. And sometimes we get stuck, don't we, in our lives. Sometimes we go through a bit of trouble or a bit of dryness or difficulty and we get stuck. And Michael Eaton says, it's good to turn aside at times like that and go over the things for which we must thank God. The way in which He's given us life and health and strength. The way He has led us and the many blessings we've received in our work, our family and amongst our friends, the joy we have in the kingdom and in the ministry. in our church, the outpourings of the Spirit. Paul calls it all spiritual blessings. This is God's will in Christ Jesus for us, to give thanks in this way. He says it might not be your will or my will, but it's God's will. And there are times when we need to deliberately follow the will of God. So as I draw to a close with this message this morning, I would encourage you to really look at this in a new way. And think about, when you finished at the end of the day, how do you enter your home? Do you enter your home with a spirit of thanksgiving? Do you enter the workplace with a spirit of thanksgiving? As we look at 2014, let me encourage you to enter next year with a spirit of thanksgiving. So, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all that you have done for me. I would encourage you and challenge you to make a list today or this week. Sit with your, if you're married, sit with your husband or your wife, or on your own. Make a list and just thank God for the things he's done for you. Can you do that? Just write it in his presence and just make a list and say, Lord, I want to just thank you for what you've done in my life. And you'll be amazed. What does it say? Count your blessings one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. For some of us, it will change us. Because for some of us, some of the stuff we've been through in life has kind of affected us a bit. It's kind of got stuck in there. And there are parts of our lives that are sweet, and there are parts of our lives that are a bit sour. And as we start speaking out, this thing about confession with your mouth is so powerful. There is power in the tongue. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it's with your mouth that you confess. With your heart you believe, but with your mouth you confess. And we need to speak these things out. So often as Christians, we're silent. Not just talking about prayer meetings or in other things, we're quiet. But we must also open our mouths and give thanks to one another. This morning, go to the anchor men saying, thank you for the effort it took to come and worship and sing to us this morning. The people that serve amongst us, the things that go on in our homes, in the workplace, as you finish off this year, maybe go to your boss or your work colleagues and say, I want to thank you. Yes, go to your boss. Say, I want to thank you for being a great boss. I want to thank you for all that you've done for me. I want to thank you for these things. It will cause us to flow in an opposite spirit to a culture of rights, human rights. I'm owed this, I expect that, I demand this. We demand. No. A spirit of thankfulness moves in an opposite spirit. You go to people and you say, I just want to thank you so much for what you've done for me. And it just changes your soul. It just changes the interiority of your soul and your life. And it's just so important that we do that. So I really would encourage you as we come to the end of this year, God expects us to be thankful. Jesus said, we're your mates. Jesus said that to him. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm so glad you thanked me. Jesus said, we're your mates. Jesus said that to him. See, we're your mates. Where's the line? Hang on, where are they? Weren't all 10 healed? Was only one foreigner found to come and give thanks to God? 10%, generally, that's what it is. 1 in 10 people are thankful. Jesus expects it. God expects it. In our relationship with Him, let's develop an attitude of thankfulness. And not only that, but friends, it'll keep us in the will of God. It'll keep us in His presence. It'll keep us soft. It'll keep us open. And it'll create a platform for God to do other things in our lives. So as you face next year, you say, oh, I want to know God's will for my life. I need a prophetic word. I need to know God's will for my life. Start giving thanks. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you'll find the will of God far easier than you've realized. God is expecting it. It'll keep you in the will of God. And it'll bless you. And it'll change you as a person. And it'll bless those around you. It'll have a witness in our city that'll be amazing. And we all need to do that. We need to learn that. To just be thankful. And so that's my final message for 2013. My final message for this year to you is, be thankful. For God is good. And there's so much to be thankful for. And not only God, but other people in your life. Your old husband, you wake up and check out every morning. Thank God for him. Your wife, you check out every day.
Be thankful for her. Your kids that sometimes give you headaches. Be thankful for them. The people at work, the people in your church, the people that serve you. Develop a spirit of thankfulness. It's so important. It's part of the gospel. And it's a reflection of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And we should be the happiest, the most thankful people on the planet. We should be always grinning. People should think there's something wrong with us because of what Jesus has done for us. Let's stand together. There's a word for some folk here. Why don't you just repent this morning? Repentance is changing your mind and just saying, Lord, I realize in this area, Lord, I need to be more thankful. And I pray you'd forgive me. And Lord, you would work in me a spirit of thankfulness. Why don't you just speak to him right now? Just tell him that right now. Lord Jesus, just tell him as you stand there. Ask him to grip your heart, not just with concerns and worries and anxiety, but with thankfulness. Lord, we pray for those that are in the midst of difficulties and struggles at the moment. Lord, we pray that you would help us to also bring a sacrifice of praise and a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Lord, that individually and corporately as a congregation, we would move deeper and deeper into your will. We'd enter your gates with this attitude. We'd go into your courts with praise and find your will in years to come because of this inner work you've done in our hearts. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would give us thankful hearts, that you would loosen our mouths and our tongues to speak it out. In Jesus' name we pray. And I pray for healing this morning for people here, Lord, people that are hurt, people that are disappointed, people that are discontented. Lord, I pray that you would bring your healing. You would bring change. But Lord, let it start with thankfulness. In anticipation for what you're still going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.